I want to thank you for joining us for another day of devotions. Again, we're teaching from our home, and this is going to be a part two of our lesson from yesterday. And I'm going to read the gospel as it's defined in Acts chapter 20, verse number 24. And just to remind you from yesterday, again, we're talking about the importance. Yesterday, we talked about the importance of rightly dividing the word of truth, the distinction between Matthew and John, the distinction between Peter's gospel in Acts 2 and Peter's confession of Acts 15:11, what Peter preached in Acts 2 and what Paul preached to the Gentiles. And we're making distinctions because you have to make distinctions. Now, I said yesterday that these apostles are advancing in their understanding of what God wants them to preach. And they're advancing their understanding based upon Paul's revelations that God has given him. All right, so we're going to talk about advancing today. How, the Lutherans, Luther obviously was advancing for his day. In the 16th century, when Luther was preaching by grace through faith, that was something new to people who were in the Catholic Church. Now, it was not anything new to people that were a part of groups like the Waldensians and Albigensians and Donatists and came up through the Anabaptist movements and stuff like that, the Novatians and people like that. It was not new to them. But for people in the Catholic Church, we know that Luther was a priest in the Catholic Church. People in the Catholic Church, that was new to them. They were basing their salvation off on the book of James, James 2:24. They were basing it on works. And so they were not rightly dividing the word of truth in regards to salvation. Now, the problem here is that the reason why the church today has apostatized, aside from the fact that we began to embrace the Catholic line of Bibles, going back to Jerome and the Vulgate and the Septuagint, the Alexandrian text, aside from that very critical issue of what Bible is the Word of God, another reason why we apostatize is because we don't do what the apostles did. The apostles were advancing based on God revealing certain things to them through, again, the Apostle Paul. And so Luther and the Lutherans, God would expect the Lutherans not to stop with Martin Luther. In other words, God wants us to advance. He wants us to build on those things that have been handed us to by our forebears. Okay, so Luther was a forebear to those who became a part of the Lutheran Church or the Protestant Reformation. Well, God does not expect us to remain stuck on the issues that they were preaching. They were coming out of something, and God expects us to advance beyond the Protestant Reformation. And God expects us to advance beyond what Luther taught and to learn more from the Bible. And so I guess the warning today is that we should not get stuck with historical positions and think that we are doing God's will by just believing in historic positions. There's nothing enlightening today about, a lot of things that Luther taught, because we've seen Luther and we've read Luther for 500 years. And so the Lutherans never advanced past Martin Luther. The Calvinists never advanced beyond John Calvin. And so what we're teaching today is God wants to open up truth to us today that he did not open up to Luther, that he did not open up to some of these people in the past. And so there are some people that stop with B.H. Carroll, which was a president of the Southern Baptist, the entire Southern Baptist Convention, I believe, or some of their seminaries. Some people stop with certain commentators. But the Bible expects us to do what these apostles did, and realizing that we are to advance beyond what these men learned. And so when we stop advancing beyond what these men have learned, we're just basing our entire belief system, we're basing it on historical positions rather than believing what the Bible says and advancing beyond that. God wants to teach us. So God wants us to build today. He wants us to grow today and learn more and build on what they handed us. And so that's what's so critical. Because if we are not advancing, what are we doing? Well, we're either growing or we're dying. And so the church is either growing or dying. So today, you're either learning more or you're stuck and you're dying. And so this brings me to this point here, and that is there's four things about you know, revivals and about movements that we need to learn that perhaps would help us today if we learned. Number one, when we look back into history, we learn that usually a revival starts with some man who's grasped some very important truths in the Bible, and he begins to preach those truths that God has shown him, and people start seeing those truths and they start embracing them and realizing, wow, you know, these are some things we need to learn from the Bible. And perhaps it was new to them, but it was from the Bible. And so always revival begins with a man who has been praying and who has discovered some things from the Bible, and he begins preaching those things from the Bible, true, good doctrine. So usually it starts with a man. And then what happens after that is that you always have a movement after that. And so a movement begins. And so people begin to be called to preach from that man. And so from that man who builds that church, they go on and build other churches. And so it becomes a movement. And they begin to preach the doctrines that this man preached. So it becomes a movement. But then something happens, and this is when apostasy begins to kick in. The third step is what we might refer to as a machine. So it starts with a man, it becomes a movement, and then it becomes a machine. This is when culture sets in. In other words, they start building colleges and they start enforcing education. And what happens now is a culture starts to settle in to the movement. And once a culture settles into the movement, it becomes a machine. In other words, people begin just to do things ritualistically. In other words, they're not alive. They're not really learning more. They're just reading the Bibles. They're basing everything that they've learned based on what this man believed, who might even be dead by now. And so their, like we said before, their thoughts and learning become historical only. And they no longer advance. They're not being fed by the Spirit of God to learn more than what that man taught them. And so a culture sets in and people begin to get puffed up because, well, I believe what so-and-so believed and I believe what so-and-so believes. And so it becomes more about historical positions of what a man once believed who brought revival. Luther was a great preacher, and Luther did a great work in coming out of the Catholic Church. But I am by no means a Lutheran. Matter of fact, if I was to take another hour, I would tell you over 15 to 20 things I don't believe that Luther believed. So I'm not a Lutheran, but I can appreciate Luther because Luther was advancing beyond his time. And so Luther was the man for the Protestant Reformation. We're not Protestants, but he was the man of the Protestant Reformation that brought that advanced the Protestants beyond the Catholic beliefs. Now, today, we are to do the same thing. We're not to base our beliefs on some man who brought revival 100 years ago. We are to advance beyond what they believed and beyond their understanding. And we're to allow the church, the spiritual body of Christ, to advance beyond and go further than what those men went. And if we are not going further than what they went, guess what we're doing? We're dying. We are settling into a culture or to just an educational society. Now, the fourth thing that happens after you have the man, you have the movement, now you have the machine. Everybody's just doing things ritualistically. They're just kind of just going like robots, okay? They're automatons, okay? They're just doing things that are robotic. You go to church because it's the thing to do. You just go. Everything's robotic. Everybody with me so far? And then the fourth thing you have is what I'm going to call a monument, okay? A monument. So we have the man, which is a good thing. We have the movement, which is a good thing. We have the machine, which is now becoming a bad thing. And then we have a monument. And that is, everybody just says, oh, wasn't that a great, hey, wasn't that a wonderful day? You know, wasn't that just great when we used to do this? We used to have that, or we used to, you know, and so it becomes a monument. Okay, in other words, now it's dead. It was a movement at one time, now it's dead. And by the way, it happens to every movement. It ends up dying, and so it's a dead movement. And you'll find people, they're trying to, you know, they're trying to do CPR on their movement, right? They're doing CPR, they're trying to get their movement back alive, and it just won't come alive. You know, they're doing CPR, they're breathing in its mouth, and they're just trying to make it, bring it back to life again. And because it's already dead. And so that's kind of the teaching here. The apostles did not do that. Paul didn't come back from his missionary's journey, and Peter, James, and John said, well, that's not the historical position. No. Paul came back and they said, wow, you're exactly right. God, praise the Lord. You know, and Peter makes a confession he's not made before. He says, we all get saved the same way. Jews and Gentiles all get saved the same way. Now, if we today do not advance beyond what our forebears taught us, then we are dying. Or maybe even dead. And so God tells us we are to learn. We are to dig in the Bible and we are to rightly divide the word of truth. So today we encourage you today. We encourage you today to advance beyond that. To realize that God makes distinctions in the Bible and He's trying to teach you the vital truths in the Word of God. And so today, if you're a Lutheran, more likely you have been taught, or if you're a Catholic, or if you're an Episcopalian, you're more likely to have been taught that, you know, many things that are contrary to the Word of God. And at some point in your church's life, in your movement's life, there are some very vital truths that were taught to your movement that was essential at the time. But the problem is that many of churches out there, many denominations out there, are stuck in historical positions, and your Christian life is not alive because you have not grabbed some very important truths. And one of those very important truths is what we're talking about here, and that is the ability to make distinctions in the Bible between verses like Acts 2:38 and Acts 15:11, Acts chapter 3 and Acts chapter 20, verse number 24. Books like Matthew, the book of Matthew compared to the book of John. You're making distinctions, and that is, there is the physical kingdom of God, there's a spiritual kingdom of God, there's a church age today, there's a tribulation in the future, there's a millennial kingdom after that, there's eternity after that, and so you make distinctions. You realize that God has certain things for these people, and God has certain things for these people, and salvation today is not by baptism, salvation today is not by the preaching of the baptism that was preached in Acts chapter 2, but your salvation hinges on a man that was called in Acts chapter 9, the Apostle Paul, and that gospel was formulated in Acts 15:11, and it was defined in Acts 20, verse number 24, and it's very clearly this. My friend, you get saved today by grace through faith alone. It's not by anything else. And anybody that teaches anything otherwise, they are in the wrong chapter and the wrong verse, and it's not for them and for 2020. It's for them at that point in time in Acts. They have advanced beyond that. So I want to ask you this question. Have you advanced beyond your church's historical positions when it comes to salvation? Because if you haven't, you may not be saved today. Because salvation is through grace alone. He said, well, what about baptism? What about this whole thing of baptism? The Bible defines baptism beyond Acts chapter 2. It tells you in the book of 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21, it tells you that baptism is a figure. Paul talks about this. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1:17 that he did not come to baptize but to preach the gospel. You see, something different's going on. There's no contradictions here. It's just they've advanced past certain points. And so that's why you cannot hinge your salvation on the wrong verses. You must attach yourself to the right verses at the point where they have advanced beyond those types of things. And so, what is baptism? Well, baptism is not a sign or a seal. Circumcision was a sign and a seal, okay, in the Old Testament. But baptism is nothing like circumcision. It's nothing like that. Baptism is a figure. And all that means is this. When you get baptized, it shows what happened to you before you got baptized. What happened to you at salvation? It's only identifying you with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's a figure. What is a figure? It's a picture. If I had an action figure up here, it would just be a picture of the real figure, of the real person. And so baptism is only a picture, a figure of what has taken place in salvation, what took place at the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so again, it's a figure. And so we're going to close our devotion again by emphasizing the fact that we are to advance in our Christian life. You are to listen to the Bible, listen to teaching, and gain knowledge and understanding of things so that you can understand what God's teaching in the Bible so that you can grow, in, as Peter says, in the knowledge and in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. So I hope these devotions are helping you to enlighten you and helping you to understand certain things. There's another thing I want to go into today, but I don't have time to do that because, again, we're trying to keep this devotion short. I hope you've enjoyed this time together. I hope that, again, you'll just continue to listen to all these devotions, put things together so they can help you not only to formulate it for yourself, but also to formulate it for others. We are supposed to spread the gospel to our neighbors, our friends, to other people that maybe come from the types of churches you came to. We've got to be able to explain these things so that people understand them. It doesn't mean we're going to convince them. There are some people that are just going to, I just want to believe, and they're going to be like that all their life. And yeah, they're going to split hell wide open. And I wish there's something I could do about that, but there's not. It doesn't mean we're going to change people's minds about things, but at least you can formulate it for yourself. And once you formulate it for yourself, you give yourself an opportunity to formulate it for somebody else. And so I hope this has encouraged you. May God bless you today. Thank you again for joining us in our home as we do our devotions every day. May God bless you and have a great day.